Let's go on in Ezekiel 38, where we were talking last Sunday, because we are coming up to a great battle. And as we read some of these prophecies, you'll recognize that this lady who wrote this letter is correct that we can only stand on the Word of God. And I want to show you, as we go through with this deliverance that we receive, it is apparent from the Holy Scriptures that deliverance will be by the Word of God. The weapon that will be used is the Word of God. Now, you recall last week we read about this great army, this great military confederation under Gog and Magog, that would come against the mountains of Israel, and it's apparent from Ezekiel, from some of the other passages, that these people have great weapons of war. They have the weapons that we are so afraid of, great armies, the weaponry, the rockets, the airplanes, the bombs, all of these things that are so fearsome in the eyes of man. So even though we say, well, we're armed with the Word of God, we have to remember they are armed with the arm of flesh. They have the physical armament which can destroy life and destroy cities. Now we read in Ezekiel 38 in verse 17, thus saith the Lord God, art thou he, and he's speaking to this great confederation, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? So God is identifying this great host of heathen coming against his Israel people, so that his prophets had spoken of over many long years. Let's go back to Jeremiah 5 and read some of the prophecies about this great northern confederation that God said he would bring against Israel, because we have to understand how they would come, where they would get their power, and what they would do. In Jeremiah 5, the first 9 verses, which we won't take time to read, but they make it very plain that Israel is in a very sinful condition. And in fact, the turning against God and their sinful condition is the reason that God is going to visit them for their transgression. But in the previous chapter, in the last verse, he gives more or less of a time when this would be. And he says in chapter 4 of Jeremiah, verse 31, for I have heard a voice as a woman in travail, and the anguish of her that bringeth forth her first child, of the daughter of Zion, that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hand, saying, woe is me, for my soul is weary because of murder. So we see that as he goes on in Jeremiah 5, he's talking about a woman in travail, the voice of the daughter of Zion. Now, we read something in Micah, and I think we'll turn over to Micah again, to the 4th chapter of Micah, the prophecy of the end of the age, the deliverance of Israel, and we read almost the same identical thing in Micah 4 and verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. Now this is the same thing that Jeremiah 4 said, that we read in Micah 4. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon, there shalt thou be delivered. So Micah sees this woman in travail, the daughter of Zion. He sees them going to Babylon, and the deliverance comes in Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. And then he goes on and explains the rising of Israel to thresh her enemies. All right, let's go back to Jeremiah 5 and read some more of this description. Jeremiah 5, starting in verse 10, after God condemns Israel for her sins. Go ye upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Now you'll recall in the old Jerusalem and Judah, God made a full end. The nation was completely destroyed and taken into Babylonian captivity. In this case, he's speaking of a time of the daughter of Zion, and he tells the destroyers not to make a full end. Take away her battlement, that would be her military protection, the walls around the city. We know it as our anti-ballistic missiles and our bombers and so on. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. Our military power is not the Lord's power, so that is going to go. So don't be so fearful when you see that we're being disarmed. God said We were to be. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against you, saith the Lord. They have blamed the Lord and said, It is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. And our politicians tell us, well, we're going to prevent war, and we're never going to have famine while we have too much surplus. They're not worried about those two things. And the prophet shall become wind, and the word is not in them. The ministers in the nation of Israel are not going to have the word of the Lord. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. It is interesting that of all the languages of the earth, that our people seem to have time learning Russian. This is a real problem in carrying on diplomatic relations with these people. Our nationals here in this country have to go to school for a long time, and it appears that only a handful of them can understand the Russian language. I recall one time that someone sent a tape back. I think it was Mrs. Walker. And she mentioned that there was another man speaking in a foreign language on this tape. And actually, we found out in playing it where it was. We had taped it on a machine that overlapped a little bit according to the way hers played. And she heard my voice correctly on the tape, but she also heard me backwards on the other way. And if any of you have ever listened to our English backwards and then listened to someone speaking in Russian, you will be struck by the similarity of the sound. Very amazing. If you can do this, play English backwards and then play Russian, and the sounds are very similar. You'd almost think they were speaking the same language. If you have an opportunity to do that, play a tape backwards. Most tape recorders you can't do that on. But anyway, he says, the nation that would come against us would have a very difficult language, a language we would not understand, and neither understand what they say. Their quiver is an open sepulcher, they are all mighty men, and they shall eat up thine harvest, and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thy herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish the fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Yes, the food from America is going overseas in fantastic amounts to communist countries. It appears that the United States has now shipped, and Canada also, all of our so-called surplus wheat has gone to Yugoslavia, to Poland, and via Canada to China and to Russia. Our surplus food is eaten up by this nation that God said would come against us. He also said that they shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. You know, there are quite a few prophecies in the Bible that God would make the cities of Israel a desolate and without a man to inhabit them. Now, this seems almost impossible, but do you realize that the American cities, the large ones, are rapidly becoming either desolate or entirely occupied by Negroes? Israelites are moving out of the cities of America, and they're moving out in great numbers. The United States News and World Report had an article some months ago about the thing that is now becoming a great problem in the cities, and that is abandoned buildings. In New York, in Philadelphia, in Columbus, in Cincinnati, in Chicago, there are block after block after block of vacant, abandoned apartment houses. In the city of Columbus or Ohio, in one area, there are 3,000 apartments. They are all vacant. The owners have abandoned the buildings and left. The reason being, they became occupied almost completely with Negroes who refused to pay their rent. The owner was fearful of his life and couldn't even hire people to go in and collect the rent, so he quit paying the utilities, so the utilities were shut off, so the city condemned the building, so he had to quit renting them, but the people stayed on. The colored people stayed on living in the buildings, until all the utilities were cut off. Then they had to move, and the buildings are not owned. They are vacant, and they're sitting there by the thousands and thousands and thousands. I think in the city of Philadelphia last year, there were 4,000 buildings abandoned in downtown Philadelphia. The city of Chicago attempted to overcome this by passing a city ordinance that required the owner of an abandoned building to pay for the cost of demolishing the building. See, what happens once they move out, the criminals, and even before they move out, the criminals and the drug addicts come in and steal the plumbing and steal the wiring and steal the fixtures and take them out and sell them for anything they can get out in the suburbs in the used furniture and used lumber yards and so on. So the buildings rapidly reach a point where they are not economically repairable. It would cost too much money to repair them. So Chicago passed an ordinance to require the owner of the building to pay the cost of demolishing it. So the owner of the buildings now go down to what they call Skid Row in Chicago, get an old drunk, and sign the deed over to him, and then they record it in the name of the drunk, or the bum. And he is the new owner. So they get out from under the ownership. They have to leave these buildings. Now, for years, I have read Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, I think Joel mentions this. A number of the prophets mentioned that God would make the cities of Israel desolate and without inhabitants. And I thought for years, well, now this is impossible. This can't happen. But brother, sister, the center part of the large cities of America are actually becoming without Israelite inhabitants. The white people are moving out in the center of these cities. And this is what he said. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. Repeating again, this is not a prophecy for old Palestine or old Israel. And it shall come to pass, when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then thou shalt thou answer them. In other words, Jeremiah, you prophet, you tell them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. We are serving the strangers in their land. Now, we live here, but we grow the wheat here, and then we send it over there, and we provide them with food and military weapons and machinery and goods. And someone has suggested this, and I don't know whether it will come to pass. It's possible that it will. Maybe it'll be like the cities, that we just didn't believe that these things could happen in America. We have about $7 billion worth of gold on hand in America. If I recall, we have about $44 billion worth of foreign claims against our gold or American currency in the hands of foreign nations, and they are allowed to convert it to gold. In other words, we can't possibly deliver to the foreign nations the amount of claims they have against us or against our gold. Now, Rome went through it. Maybe America will go through it. Someone has suggested that the only way America, as we get in the worst condition, will be able to satisfy the legal claims against us is to dismantle buildings and factories and ship them to the foreign nations in payment for their claims against us. Have you ever thought about that? The dismantling of capital buildings, factories in America, and shipping them to France and to England and to Russia and China and Czechoslovakia. Now, that is already being done to some extent. For instance, the largest factory in America, I believe in the North American continent, for the production of small arms ammunition originally was at St. Louis, Missouri. How many of you know that about 6 years ago, that entire plant was dismantled and sent to India, and it's now in India turning out small caliber ammunition? I believe all they produce is a 50 caliber machine gun or possibly 20 millimeter cannon weaponry. The entire plant, all of the machinery, acres and acres of buildings, were dismantled and hauled to India, and it's India for the last 5 years. Took about 2 years to reassemble it, and it's now producing military ammunition in India. And I wonder if God Almighty is going to have to do that to our auto factories, to our plant-turn-up textiles, to our other factories and plants, dismantle them in America and build them in other nations to impoverish this people, to make them turn to the word of the Lord. Brother, sister, I don't know what it's going to take, but God said he'd make the cities desolate, and it's beginning to happen. Maybe he'll do this too. And ye shall have strangers in a land not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and hear it or not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, if a place to stand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed week of the harvest. And I believe this is possibly reference to the end of the age harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait, as he that setteth snares, and they set a trap, and they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. This is true of America. The whole system has become a system of deceit and oppression, and our people approve it and agree with it and try to protect it and perpetuate it. And this is true of the great religious body. One of the young men that was here last Sunday told me this. His father was formerly a Mennonite preacher, and he left the Mennonites some time ago, disturbed about the modernism that is coming into the Mennonite preaching and churches. And so someone gave me a little booklet just recently. It's one of the last publications of the Mennonite Church. And the first article in the booklet is about how a family in America, a Mennonite family, adopted an orphan from Korea who was half Negro and half Korean, and brought him to America. He's living with their family, and how wonderful it is that God is blessing them because they are bringing these other people into America and into their families. Now, this is a Mennonite booklet. The second article in the magazine is an article that tells you how you can give your money to the Mennonite preaching, and they'll pay you 7.5% interest on the use of your money on an annuity, and then the rest of it remains in their possession when you die. So they are violating God's laws on usury in the second article. The first article is a violation of God's laws on race and intermarriage. The second one is a violation of God's laws on usury. Now, this is the Mennonite. These are the people that you and I, for years, and I used to live in Wisconsin. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, just a few miles from a Mennonite settlement. And my dad knew a lot of those people personally. I remember talking with them, visiting with them. I've ridden with those people when we gave them rides to the city because they didn't have cars, or to town to shop. Wonderful people. Very good Christian people. And yet this is what is happening in the Mennonite church. So God is talking of Israel at a time when the whole nation is corrupt and sinful and turned away. And even people that we thought would never turn away from the Lord are turned away and violated laws. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged in such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Yes, brother, sister, Jeremiah saw a time, but he also saw a time when God would not make a full end of these people. All right, I have a couple of verses in Jeremiah 6, and then we'll finish in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Jeremiah 6, verse 22. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Everything that we read about the communists show that they are almost totally lacking in mercy in any way, shape, or manner. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. Not the old mother, not the old city, not old Jerusalem, the daughter of Zion. We have heard the pain thereof, our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as a woman in travail. And here's the same idea again. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and goes on and tells what we're supposed to do. Now, brother, sister, we're not ready for that yet. If I were to answer someone and say, well, do you think America is ready to repent and turn to the Lord? No, I don't think America is ready to repent and turn to the Lord. Now, if it takes the desolation of our cities, if it takes the dismantling of our wealth and our power, if it takes the disarmament of all of our military conflict to turn us to the word of the Lord, brother, sister, that's what's going to happen. All right, let's finish in Ezekiel. Turn back to me to Ezekiel 38. After God says that I prophesied that they would come against you, but now listen to what he says about it. Verse 18. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. God is going to get angry about what is happening. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. But did you notice as I read that verse that what they're going to be afraid of? Now, we've read about this great host of military might coming against us, the terrible people, the fact that they have no mercy and all the fear that they engender in us. But you notice that God says of all these things that fear, he says, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Did you notice? He didn't say they're going to be fearful of these military people. God says they'll shake at my presence. You know what that means? That means that there's going to be a turning to the word of the Lord so fast that some of us will wonder why they didn't do it years ago. Right at that time, God says this shaking will be so great that even the fishes of the sea will feel it. And they'll shake at my presence. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. Now, you know what the sword of the Lord is. The sword of the Lord is the word of God. And it appears that he says, every man upon the earth will shake at my presence because I will call for a sword against him, against Gog and Magog and all the forces of heathendom. And God's word, of course, is his sword. And every man upon the earth will fear the word of the Lord. Can you visualize a time? Just stop and think for a moment what these verses mean. Can you visualize a time upon the earth when every person upon the earth will fear when he hears the word of the Lord? You know, they laugh at it now. They ignore it. They pay no attention to it. But do you realize that God Almighty is saying that every man upon the earth at that time will fear at my presence. Brother, sister, that has never happened in all of earth's history yet, but God says it will. And every man's sword shall be against his brother. You know, Christ said that his truth would divide families and set father against son and son against mother. Now, this is going to happen in this end of the age, that the word of God is going to divide the people right on from family to family, to husband to wife, to father and mother, child, son and daughter. Whoever will have and fear the word of the Lord is going to be on one side and protected. Whoever won't have it will be on the other side and destroyed. And it's going to be done by the word of the Lord. Let's read verse 22. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, And I will rain upon him and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. This is a great destruction from the Lord God Almighty that he will bring against people. And I think we'll take the time to turn back to Isaiah 30 before we finish in 30, because Isaiah saw this same thing, and he indicates the same identical weaponry used against God's enemies and the enemies of Israel. Isaiah 30, verse 25, and I'll just read a few of these verses. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. So he's talking about the same time as you see from other verses. And then in verse 30, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard. What does that mean? God's word will be preached and heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with a flame of devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstone. That's what Israel said. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down which salt with God. What is going to be the thing that will destroy this for me? The word of God, the voice of the Lord. I don't think that we realize the power that's in this word. I really don't. I sometimes think that we recognize that the word has power to convert, the word has power to heal, but I never thought that according to God's own prophet that the word has power to destroy enemy armies, actually destroy the weapons of the enemy and the fear of God in every creature upon the earth. That's the power that's in this word. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tablets and hearts, and in battle shaking shall he fight with it. Fight with the word. The word of the Lord will destroy the Assyrian. In chapter 31, verse 8 and 9, he says, then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of the mighty man, and the sword not of the mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. Now you know from Scripture that the ensign that God has raised up in this end of the age is the Son of the Cross. Have you ever wondered why God's enemies, the Antichrist, hate the sign of the cross? They don't want it to be in front of the Legion building. They don't want it to be in front of the state capitol. They don't want that cross anywhere. They want to take it off all the graves in the military cemeteries. They want to take it away from anywhere. They fear it. They hate it. But do you know something else? They fear it. They fear the sign of the cross. And God says that this ensign will be something that will destroy them. And this sign, the sign of Christendom, the sign of Jesus Christ, is the sign of the cross. The Bible and the cross will be triumphant and conquer and destroy in that day. Let's finish in Ezekiel. Verse 23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Can you imagine if we took our airplanes and our missiles and our soldiers and our guns and defeated Russia? That wouldn't magnify the Lord. The heathen wouldn't know that he is the God of all creation if that happened, if we won in a military battle. No, the destruction of the enemy is going to come in such a manner that the heathen all over the world will recognize it was done through the word of the great God Almighty. Let's read a few more verses in the code. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north part, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand, and thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands and thy people that is with thee. And I will give thee unto the ravenous bird of every sort, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and I will send a fire on Magog, God will send destruction back in the land of the Mongols, and among them that dwell carelessly in guile, and they know that I am Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people, and I will not do my holy name any more, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 23. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. Even the heathen will know that the defeats and the captivity of this time, this day, and perhaps in the coming years before our deliverance, was because of our iniquity. And that's the hardest I have to get across to my good patriotic American people. They can't understand that our defeat at the hands of communism is because of our iniquity, and yet God says, after this is all over, even the heathen will know that Israel went into captivity for Israel's iniquity. They still insist that we're going into captivity because the communists are so smart. No, it's because our people refuse to hear the word of the Lord. Because they trespass against me, therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hands of their enemies, so they fell all by the sword. Verse 27. When I have brought them again from people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and have sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. Our people are in captivity in our own land among the heathen. Read the newspapers on these accounts of people that they're picked up for dope possession. You know what most of those names are? Mexican and Negro. And yet our white Israel people are captive among the dope culture, and that dope culture comes among the heathen. It comes because we mix with the heathen people right on land. I think that the mixing of our Israel people with the heathen probably in the final analysis will be recognized as the crime of the ages. Nothing that we have done is as sinful as mixing the blood of Israel. Isaiah or Nehemiah calls it the holy seed of Israel with the heathen, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto the land, and have left none of them there any more. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Brother, sister, in this end of days, when this battle is over, when the wicked have been destroyed, the heathen have been separated from Israel, and have been converted to know the Lord, and God pours His Spirit out upon Israel, what are we talking about? We're talking about the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God upon the earth. And that day is coming just as sure as you read the news of it in your daily newspaper. They're having hearings in Congress today telling us that by 1963, Russia will have missiles sufficient to overcome all of our anti-ballistic missiles. They are running so fast it is almost impossible to keep up with the news events of the hour. Yet God Almighty, through His prophets, has told us the whole story of events. And the weapon that will be used to destroy God's enemies is what? The sword of the Lord, the word of God, if we'll just lay hold upon it. That's the gospel of the kingdom.